Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship this morning, and welcome to those who are joining us online. It is a pleasure to welcome all into this place and this space this morning for worship. The announcements have been before you on the screens as you have been gathering, and I hope you've had the time to make note of those which are of most importance to you, and as well they are printed in the bulletin. Next week, we will be celebrating the Sacrament of Communion during worship, so please do plan to attend for that. The session meeting from this past Tuesday has been rescheduled to this Tuesday, so we will meet on Tuesday at 7 for session. Gifts for Agape for the last little while have been fruit cups and canned fruit, and we haven't filled the table back there yet, so we're going to keep collecting those for a couple of more weeks. So if you have contributions to make in that regard, it would be greatly appreciated. And the Graduate Sunday for our high school graduates is coming up on the 29th of this month. So please make sure that you, if you know of someone who's graduating, we've got four so far. But if we've missed one, please let us know, and we'll make sure to include them in Graduate Sunday in a couple of weeks. As we come into Christ's presence this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign of that Christ is the light of the world, and that we who are his people seek to walk in the light of his love. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Lord, how magnificent is your name in all the earth.
Praise to you, O Lord our Father.
Who are we that you are mindful of us, yet you have crowned us with glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You have covered the heavens with your majesty.
Praise to you, Spirit divine.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we honor you this day. We honor the majesty and the mystery of your name. You are both infinite and intimate, known and unknowable, transcendent and transparent. In you, in love, you have made us for your own and invite us to join in your divine dance. We will never rest until we rest in you, O blessed Trinity, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. And as we come in worship this morning, we come singing the hymn 299 in the Book of Praise, Holy, 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 hymn 299.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
friends, the steadfast love of our Lord never comes to an end. It is new and fresh every morning. As we come this morning in prayer and praise, we come acknowledging the sins that we have committed over this past week and seeking God's forgiveness and our redemption. Let us come now saying together the prayer of confession as it appears before you on the screen. God of justice and love, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy upon us as we confess our sin. We call you God of creation, yet we serve idols of our own making. We confess Christ as our Savior, yet we rely on elaborate security systems for our protection. We claim the indwelling Spirit, yet we abide by our own counsel. Forgive our double-mindedness, and through Christ make us whole. Amen. Friends, let us continue to stand in the grace of Christ, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We are set free to love God and neighbor and to work for the reconciliation of the world. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, we turn in praise as we sing hymn 434, For the Beauty of the Earth, hymn 434.
For the beauty of the earth, for the
I'm so glad there are no children here this morning, because I'm going to talk to you about the Trinity. And it's very, very hard to talk to the Trinity about adults, let alone little children. This is Trinity Sunday, so our focus this morning is on the celebration of the Trinity and all that that entails. And there's a small graphic that has been used throughout the history of the church to try to explain what the Trinity is. And so I asked Roy to put it up there. Thank you, Roy. You see, in the center, we have God. And God, as we know it, are the three corners of the triangle that exists there. God, who is the Father, God, who is the Son, and then God, who is the Holy Spirit. And then on the outside, as you join those three points together, it says, the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. All clear as mud, right? Indeed it is. But the Trinity is a simple way of articulating the ways that we experience God. And it is also the acknowledgement that we have a belief that God, the eternal God, in whom we believe, existed before all time and space, and all three members of the Trinity were there at the time of time, if that makes sense. So God, Spirit, Son, and Holy Spirit, before anything else was, there was God. And each plays their own specific role in our understanding. There is the God who created the universe and who watches over us with love, the God who redeems us and seeks to draw us back into relationship with him, God the Father. The Father who then sends Jesus Christ, the Son, to earth to, in a very special way, show us his love and to, through his sacrifice on the cross, redeem us of our sin and show us that all of those things that we worry most about in life, death and hell, have been defeated through his resurrection. God the Son. And then God the Holy Spirit, the continuing inspiration of God's will within our lives that makes real for us that reality that we just spoke of, the God of creation and the God of redemption and the Son of redemption. Without the Spirit, we could not understand how those things happen. And of course, the reality is for all of us that in each of our lives, from time to time, the triangle shifts just a little bit and we feel the presence of God closer through the inspiration of the Spirit, perhaps, or through the meditations of the wonders of God and of God's creation, or perhaps through Jesus' sacrifice. Each of those things speaks to us at different times, and we give thanks to God for all of them. So if the graphic that you see before you is helpful, feel free to kind of commit it to memory. The God who is, and then the personhoods of God who do not overlap each other. And if it's not, well, then we're right on track for a regular Trinity Sunday morning. So we will continue to explore the Trinity in our preaching this morning. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Living Word, who has spoken and who continues to speak to us, by your word may the Spirit guide us into all truth, that our lives may glorify you this day and forevermore. Amen.
The first reading this morning is taken from the book of Proverbs. Does not God Does not wisdom call and understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all who live." Endowing with wealth those who love me and filling their treasuries, the Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, playing before him always, playing in the inhabited world and delighting in the human race. The second reading is the reading responsively of Psalm number 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name on all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established.
What are humans that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them?
Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field.
The birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the deep.
O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The third reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
Once more, let us stand to sing the hymn, Thou Whose Almighty Word, number 291 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you. And our gospel reading, taken from the gospel according to John, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. Let us listen for God's word as it is given in John chapter 16, beginning at the 12th verse. Jesus was speaking to his disciples when he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he bears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has given is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a story of the Buddhist tradition that goes like this. There was a group of blind men who heard that there was going to be a strange animal called an elephant, and that it had been brought to their town. But none of them were aware of its shape or its form. Out of curiosity, they said to one another, "We must inspect and know it by touch, of which we are capable." So the blind men sought the elephant out. And when they found it, they began to feel it. The first, whose hands landed upon the trunk, said, "This being is like a thick snake. For another, whose hand reached its ear, he said, it seems like a kind of fan. For another, whose hand was upon its leg, it said, the elephant is a pillar, like a tree trunk. The blind man who placed his hand upon the side of the elephant said, is it a wall? And another who felt its tail described it as a rope. The last felt its tusk, stating that the elephant that is that which is hard and smooth and like a spear. The challenge that is presented in this parable is that each of the blind men describes the elephant from his own perspective, but each of them is limited by what that experience can tell them. And as we enter into worship this morning on this Trinity Sunday and try to understand and encompass all that God is, I think it's fair for us to say that, like the blind men of the parable, often our definitions of God are influenced by our own experiences of God and of God's love and of God's grace. And while our experience can give us a glimpse of God, it does not encapsulate the fullness of God's grace or of God's glory. It is for this reason that the church requires a day like today, a day like Trinity Sunday, to expand our visions, hopefully, or at least to puzzle us a little bit, and to help us to comprehend the fullness of God. For surely the God in whom we believe and in whom we place our trust is bigger than just our own experience. Our reading from this morning from Proverbs chapter 8 that Doug just read for us draws back the curtain on creation and invites us to enter into the precincts of heaven. This psalm is part of a much larger section in the book of Proverbs. It spans chapters 1 through 9, and they are known as the Hymn to Wisdom. Many scholars see a continuity between this character, wisdom with a capital W, in the Old Testament, and the Holy Spirit of the New Testament. In the Hebrew Scriptures, wisdom takes on the persona of a woman and is believed to represent the female aspect of the Godhead. This morning's text speaks of the creation of wisdom. Before the beginning of creation, when there still was no deep and mountains had yet to be formed or soil created upon the ground, God calls forth wisdom. And wisdom says, then I was beside him. Like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, playing before him always, playing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. That word delight keeps showing up in this passage from Scripture. It's not a word we use often in our everyday speech, isn't it? And yet, what a wonderful word it is as we consider wisdom and the movement of wisdom, God's Spirit through creation. Yet, even here in this text, as we think about all that God is doing and the movement of wisdom in and through, we are exposed to the transcendence of God and wisdom on full display. The passage begins with wisdom's own self-definition. Does not wisdom call and understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all who are alive." The purpose of wisdom is to declare to creation the glory of God and the delight of God, to point toward the creation in all of its wonder and all of its beauty, and to proclaim it's bigger than that. It's bigger than you think. Despite all the wonder that we see around us, there lies something even greater behind it. The hand of a creator who sculpts and molds all that is and all that was formed and gave great delight to the divine. Because like a child running through a forest and peeking from behind the trees, wisdom plays in that world. And it was the expression of God's great delight. And wisdom was there, beside God, delighting in God. And wisdom is here in this text, giving testimony to all that God has done and all that will be revealed through time to God's people. And wisdom continues to reveal God's will to us and to make known God's delight in us and through us. It is incomprehensible that one who existed before time has dwelt in time and now continues to delight in God's goodness beyond time. He speaks to us in Scripture. And that is the stuff of the Trinity. Trinity helps us acknowledge this God who is not bound by any of the things that we mere mortals are bound by, and therefore we cannot fully express or comprehend who God is because our understanding is too small. And yet we have this gift of wisdom in the Trinity, to acknowledge a God that is beyond our human understanding and that yet that draws us into that unfathomable story and inspires us to first come to believe in God and then to look higher, to dig deeper, that we might continue to learn more about the wonder of our God. For every time we declare that we know God, wisdom declares it's bigger than that. The playful wisdom always pushes us forward just a little bit further in our understanding. And it is also there and articulated in our gospel lesson for this morning, the continuous leading of wisdom into deeper understandings of God's grace being revealed for us. As Jesus is preparing for his death upon the cross, and teaching his disciples what that would mean for them and for the creation that God has so lovingly formed, Jesus too hints at the incomprehensibility of God. I've never had written a sermon. I'm sure all year long I haven't written a sermon with so many words that are this long. Incomprehensibility. Jesus says to his disciples, "I still have many things that I need to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." but wisdom is coming. And the disciples and us will grow in wisdom and knowledge and the love of our God who created us, who redeemed us, and who continues new truths about himself to us. Roy had to pay attention to the whole sermon this morning because I was going to ask him to do that. Thank you, Roy. What a wonderful gift that we have been given to have received that wisdom. That we have been created by this amazing and immense God who exists within each moment of history and yet who is beyond all time and space, and with his very fingers traces the far-flung expanses of the universe. I've seen one or two people kind of going at the image. It's an image from the Hubble Space Telescope of one of those ends of the farthest reaches of the world. And they call it the pillars of creation, because it's that far out. But I kind of see there somewhere the finger of God touching the stuff of the universe. This is the God who we worship. This is the God who gives us hope and calls us together each week that we might be prodded to proclaim God and to learn more about the wonder that is God. And to, in the end, know that God is our delight and that God desires nothing more than to delight in us. Thanks be to God for all that he gives and all that he does. And may we seek each day to grow into fuller understanding of who God is for us and our world. Amen. Out of the abundance of God's own life, we have received the abundance of God's creation, God's word, and God's love. Why then should we live as though we are threatened with scarcity? Let us return to God a portion of all that we have been given with joyous and glad abandon as we present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Thank you. Let us pray. Holy God, you have poured out so much for us, the beauty of this world, the care of family and friends, meaningful labor, and the gift of the church. We give you thanks for these and many other gifts. Most especially, we thank you for pouring your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Through these offerings, may your love spill over in glad abundance that brings relief, renewal, and hope to those in need. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, you are more than we can know or name, and yet we call on you again and again, for you alone are God. We cannot live apart from you, for you have called us into your triune life. Your steadfast love surrounds us all the days of our lives. Wherever we may be, on a high mountain or a path in a shadowy valley, at a crossroads on our journey, outside the gates of welcome or in some inner circle, you call to us, delighting in the human race. We come before you in thanksgiving for all the gifts that you have given that delight us so, for the beauty of this season, for the lives of those who bless us beyond their knowing, for this community of faith by which we are nurtured and challenged, for opportunities to serve you by serving others, for goals accomplished, and for the gift of life granted yet again today. We come before you humbly and hopeful in need, and we pray that you will meet all the needs of your people. For those we know who are suffering today because of illness in body, mind, or spirit. For those trying to make a difficult decision. For those grieving a loss, an ending, a dream deferred. We pray for healing and strength in every broken place of our lives. And we long for the hope that you alone can give, hope that does not disappoint us, but that rolls away the stones of death and despair. We pray for those whose livelihood is precarious, for those who live at the edge of poverty's precipice, and for those who live in temporary shelter and tenuous provision. In the public square and in the privacy of our conscience, help us find the way and the will toward a common good. We come before you earnestly and urgently for this world in turmoil, for the chaos loose in the natural world, droughts and floods, earthquakes and tornadoes. Heal the earth, we pray. May those who are starving, thirsty, or left in destruction's debris be restored. We pray for the turmoil we cause through war and violence, hatred and prejudice, by our indifference and by our calculation. Bring an end to our warring ways until civilians and soldiers live in safety and peace. Root out of our hearts the seeds of bigotry and narrow-mindedness. Stir us from apathy and increase in us empathy that we may love as you have loved. Holy God, we have done so much to disrupt, disengage, and even destroy what you have created and called good. Still, you are determined to delight in the human race. So make us delightful. Help us to delight in you by living and playing in ways that please you. Help us to delight in neighbors near and far by living and playing in ways that restore common communion. Make us delightful all our days until we greet with joy the kingdom you are bringing. Until that day, hold us constant in prayer, praying in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn for this morning is 298 in the Book of Praise. Glory be to God the Father, hymn 298. Now let us go out to live this day with patient endurance, standing firm in the hope that comes from God, that others may see the glory of the Lord made known through Jesus Christ. And may the grace of Christ grant you peace. May the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth. And may the love of God fill your heart so that you may find hope in every circumstance of this life, giving glory to God in all things. Amen.